Thank you very much. What a blessing it is to be here this morning. What a beautiful time of worship and just turning our attention off of ourselves and onto the Lord. And boy, I've just had such a great morning this morning. I was greeted by friendly people. When I came in here, I met some more friendly people. I saw people greeting each other with hugs and welcomes, and I feel like I'm amongst friends, because enemies don't act like that. And then I was invited to a room where people gathered to prayer. What a beautiful morning. And it's always my desire in prayer that when we come with our diversity of circumstances and realities, that the Lord by His Holy Spirit will speak into every one of us individually. And you know, it's so beautiful as we turn our attention to the Lord. He is able to do that, where He can speak. It's like sometimes you leave and you go, man, the Lord spoke right to me this morning. And every one of us, I pray, will be able to do that. We are in community here. And what a beautiful thing. And Carla and I were talking yesterday about community and what that looks like. And there are so many aspects to community. We are the Saib family. We are a community. And then we also attend a church. We are part of a church community, a larger picture. And we live in a neighborhood, which is community, which has also benefits and challenges as well. So community has a lot of benefits, a lot of challenges, and I really believe God has designed for us to be in community. I don't know very many people, and I would not do well in solitary confinement. I would die rather quickly, I think. Unless I knew the Lord was right there with me, and He was right there with me, and He showed Himself to me every day, I think I would not survive very well in alone. The wife and kids were gone to Ranger Lake Camp a couple weeks ago. I did good because I was surrounded by community. I wasn't left to myself. She had made this wonderful casserole that kept me for the whole week. Plus, I had a neighbor that invited me over for tacos because I was helping them with some landscaping. So because of that community, I didn't just survive, I thrived really, really well. I was wondering if you could humor me for maybe a minute this morning and just turn to a neighbor or a couple of neighbors or a little group around you, and I want you to come up with one of the benefits of living in community and a challenge that comes with community. And don't be afraid. I'm not going to ask you to run up here and share your thoughts publicly. I'm not going to bring a mic to you or anything, but just for like a minute or two, or maybe three or four, take some time to just discuss the benefits, one benefit and one challenge to living in community. Can you do that for me? Awesome. All ready? Go. Don't be shy. We're in community. All right. I know you're going to start talking about a whole bunch of other things other than this subject in just a minute, so I'm not going to let you go on forever. Would anybody, and I said I'm not going to put anybody on the spot, so I'm not going to ask anybody specifically. Like, I'm not going to go up to somebody and say, hey, you know. But would anybody like to share one benefit of being in community? Shout it out. Paul.
Coach, we have two adopted families, and God has blessed us both in good.
Okay, what's the benefit of it?
Adopted families, they bless us and we bless them.
Okay, just time together, being with each other. Yeah. Someone else, I heard something.
Friendship.
Yes. Okay, give me a challenge.
Expectations.
You mean there's expectations? We have expectations of one another here this morning? You mean I'm here with, you're expecting something from me? Okay, give me another benefit. Exhortation, like encouraging one another? Yes. Yeah, challenging one another? Any other challenges? Miscommunication. Oh, my feelings are so hurt because whatever. Sorry? Yeah, trying to witness without offending. Languages sometimes can be a challenge. Yeah, I know that in our workplace where we have people from all over the world and trying to understand them sometimes is a challenge. This is great. Anybody, any more benefits to community? Safety. Hey, that's a really good one. There's safety in numbers. And we could go on, and that's a really great discussion, really great thing to think of, because I really believe God has called us to live in community. It comes with its benefits, and it does come with challenges. Here's a couple of others that I thought of. Within community, we have identity, and we are held accountable in some ways. Within community, we are forced to deal with our selfishness, and we're called to share. You know, that first child comes along, or there's one in the home, and then, you know, everything is about them. All the attention went to them, and all of a sudden child number two comes along, and all of a sudden they have to share, and then child number three or four or five or whatever comes along, and you have to learn to share within that sense of community. And then grandchildren come along, and then there's more sharing that has to take place. We are forced to deal with our selfishness, and we're called to share with one another. Within community, there is celebration. Anybody been in graduations this year? Yes, there's celebration and weddings and things like that. Anybody been in a funeral this year? Probably many of us. There's also support in the midst of community. Within community, there is teaching, protection, safety that was mentioned, and guidance, exhortation, and challenging one another. Within community, we can live with the peace and joy that comes from being blessed by others. And that's one of the things I want to focus on this morning. Living with blessing seems to be a theme that runs through the entire Bible. Living with blessing within the context of community seems to be a theme that runs from Genesis to Revelation. God wants to give His blessing, and He wants us to live with blessing. I want to just have a quick peek at a couple very familiar passages of Scripture. You probably know some of these off by heart. Numbers chapter 6. Here is a passage of Scripture that God is giving direction to the priests and saying, this is what I want you to say at the end of your day or at the end of your time or gathering together. I want you to pronounce this blessing. And it really describes for me God's desire to put His blessing upon His people. And we're going to define that this morning. The Lord said to Moses, Numbers 6 and 22, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. So they will put My name on the Israelites and I will bless them. In that passage, and I've said that blessing over my kids many times, and it's a desire that God expresses to bless His people. Psalm chapter 1, another very familiar passage, and we could look at over and over again many passages with the word bless or blessing or blessed in it. Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on His law day and night. So God says, I want to bless My people. I want to give you blessing, but there are some areas, some standards in which I can bless you. And there is some things that God says, I cannot bless that, and I will not bless that. And He gives us clear direction in His Word in that regard. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and He meditates on His law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water. This is the blessing they experience. security. They'll be strong. They'll be like a tree planted by streams of water, fruitful. They yield fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prosper. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Today I want to speak to you of the value of living with blessing. I want to, and to do that, I think we need to stop and define what blessing really means. I want to encourage husbands and wives to seek to live in each other's blessing. Can you imagine our culture if husbands were seeking the blessing of their wives in all of their activities and their business deals, and wives were seeking the blessing of their husbands to make sure that we are in harmony and we are blessing one another? Can you imagine the impact on our culture? And that's why within our community, within the church community, if we can get this right, what a testimony to the world around us. So I want to encourage husbands and wives to seek to live in each other's blessing, and I want to talk a little bit about what that looks like. I want to encourage parents to bless their children and children to seek their parents' blessing. We're not to live as islands and isolated from one another. I want to challenge all of us to pursue God's blessing on our lives and to trust Him to meet our needs when there is no one else to meet them. One thing that I have learned in my life is the value of having the blessing of those who love me and are invested in my life and that know what to give their blessing to. There are times that we should not extend a blessing. And there are times we should freely bless those that we love and care about so deeply and are invested in. As I read the Bible, there are many instances of people seeking and giving or withholding their blessing at times. In Genesis chapter 24, we read of Rebekah's family giving her their blessing. Abraham had sent a servant to find a wife for Isaac. She had to be a special woman from a particular place and belief system. Can you imagine that? If all of a sudden, my son Caden, he was getting to the age where he was needing a wife, and I said, you know what, there's no one in Saskatoon that he could marry. So I'm going to send a hired servant, I'm going to send them off to Winnipeg. Because there are people who are similar to our culture and our way, and I'm going to send them to Winnipeg, to a certain area, and there you're going to find a wife for my son. I can't imagine doing that. But here in the Bible is an example of that happening. Abraham sent a servant to find a wife for Isaac. She had to be a special woman from a particular place and belief system. After Abraham's servant found that special woman for Isaac and she agreed to go and marry him, her family sent her off with this blessing in Genesis chapter 24 and 60. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you increase." Get that word in the back of your mind. May you increase. Say increase with me. Increase. To thousands upon thousands, may your offspring possess the gates of their enemies. So there's an example of a family giving their blessing to their child, their daughter, who was going off to marry Isaac. But in Genesis chapter 25, we read of a blessing being withheld from an individual. We read of a time where a family would not give their blessing to someone. Isaac and Rebekah had two sons. And so they're familiar with this whole thing of marrying and being in culture and being in community. And they had two sons and wanted to carry on the tradition of blessing them as well. We see that in their lives. Esau, being the firstborn, was to get twice as much of his father's inheritance and take over the responsibility of the family leadership. Esau, however, did two things that broke his parents' heart. He disrespected his role as an heir to the family leadership, his birthright, and he married two women who were idol worshippers. Two women that his parents were against him marrying. There was no way that Isaac and Rebekah were going to extend their blessing to a marriage that was destined to lead their son away from worshiping the living God. Genesis chapter 26, verses 34 and 35 says this: When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and also Basemath, daughter of Elon the Hittite. They were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. It was after this that Rebekah helped Jacob to be declared the recipient of the family's firstborn inheritance. There was no way that this mother was going to give her blessing to a son who was married to idol worshippers and that were going to lead her son away from worshiping the living God. She saw the pathway that he was on, away from God, away from worshiping the true God. And she was not going to participate in giving a blessing to that. There's another family I would like to tell you about this morning. A husband and wife that loved each other and loved the Lord greatly. They were a young couple who began to establish their own farm in the late 1940s. They assembled their farm in the days of horses and hard labor. As time went on, milking cows became more lucrative, so they grew their herd and established a dairy. Once again, it was in the days before equipment, so milking cows was done by hand. In 1949, their first child, a daughter, arrived, but there were no daycares when work needed to be done. This new mom simply wrapped baby up and took her to the barn during milking or to the garden for planting, weeding, or harvest. No such a thing as daycares in those days, not on the farm. In 1951, a son was born, and in 1954, another. But even with a young family and a growing dairy, mom's responsibilities never stopped. Machinery was introduced to the farm, but that only enabled them to milk more cows in the same amount of time. Then in 1960, another son was born. They believed in increasing in this family. But now the oldest daughter could help with the baby, and the other boys could help with some chores as well. The parents loved their family and were with them in church every Sunday. Time went on and their children grew up and began to get married. They accepted and loved the children's spouses as their own. When the youngest was about to get married, the mother was greatly concerned. Even though her son loved the Lord, this mom saw something that concerned her deeply. She begged her husband to talk to the son, but Dad realized that the son wouldn't listen. He was a big boy now, wanting to be independent. He didn't need or seek his parents' advice or blessing, even in these important relationships. He was an adult who could make his own decisions. Problem was, he made his decisions with his eyes and his heart. He left his head out of the decision-making process, being unwilling to listen to the advice of those who loved him the most. So he married, and the parents went on loving. 10 years passed, and their worst nightmare became reality. There was a crisis, brokenness, and hardship. But now there were also two grandchildren who needed care and love. Their baby boy needed help, and they were there not with judgment or condemnation, but with love and their sleeves rolled up, ready to do whatever was needed. They were there when their broken son, now a single parent of two beautiful children, moved and set up home in a new location. They were there year after year, standing alongside their son as he raised his children, telling him how proud they were of him for the way he managed his home and raised his kids. There was never an I told you so, or only the tender compassion of hard-working parents who sacrificed to love their children. Another 10 years went by, and the son met another woman, but he was different now. He understood the value of seeking his parents' blessing, and the value of listening to those who are observing with the wisdom of experience as their teacher. So he introduced his new friend to mom and dad. Together they spent time with each other's parents. At age 41, the son went to his parents and asked, "What do you see? If I were to marry this woman, would I have your blessing?" This couple went on to get married with their parents at their side as attendants, praying for and extending their blessing. Dad passed away 2 years ago and Mom is turning 92 in August. I'm 56, but there is still nothing like hearing my mom say, "I'm proud of you, son." There is great peace in honoring my parents and living in a way that I know that they would give their blessing to. In this whole area of blessing, I think one of the first and most important things is to understand what blessing means. If you want someone's blessing, do you just want their approval? Do you just want them to give you their rubber stamp? Or does it mean something deeper than that? And I believe the scriptures teach that it does mean something deeper than that. We find in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 the first thing that God helps us in understanding what blessing means. In Genesis 1 and 2, to bless is to increase. We read in the whole case of creation, everything God creates, He says, multiply, create, magnify, increase, fill the earth. He gives the ability to increase. Whenever God created something, He blessed it and said, be fruitful and multiply. To bless is to increase. To curse is to take away, to desire for something to be taken away. So when God says, I want to bless something, one of the things that He's got in His mind is, I want to increase. I want to give you the ability to increase. I want that to increase in your life. And so if we go to Psalm chapter 1, He's saying, blessed is the man who... He says, I want things to increase for this man who wants to meditate on the law day and night because his pathway is going the right direction. I want good things to increase in his life. But then he says, not so the man, not so the wicked who do not want to walk in the counsel of the Lord or walk in his ways. He will not be fruitful in many areas. There will be a decline, a decrease. So the first thing blessing involves is increasing. Also in Genesis, we find that to bless means to set apart as holy. In Genesis chapter 2 and 3, as God is establishing the Sabbath, He blessed the seventh day and made it holy. He sets it apart because on it, He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. So something that is blessed is set apart as holy. In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 8, at that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi. Remember how the Lord, after they came out of Egypt, said, all the firstborn in Egypt are mine. All the firstborn of Israel, rather. They're all mine. Because remember all the firstborn in Egypt died at the Passover? The lamb thing, the painting of the blood on the doorposts and the door frames. So He says, all the firstborn are mine. And so then later He says, I'm going to take the Levites in place of the firstborn. And it's really interesting that if there was less Levites than there were firstborn, then there was a redemption that had to be paid. There was actually things that had to be paid and lambs that were sacrificed to make sure that it was completely one for one. It's interesting the details that the Lord goes to in this. And so at that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister, and to pronounce blessings in His name as they still do to this day. So to bless is to increase. It is also to set apart as holy. And the third area of blessing, thirdly, to bless is to give approval based on God's character and His nature and upon His word. Rebecca would not give her approval to Esau's marriage partners because she saw that his wives would lead him away from worshiping God. We see that so clearly when God blesses marriage. In Mark chapter 10, verses 6 to 9, Jesus looks back to the beginning of creation and He says this, at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. The two will become one flesh. So they no longer are two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. In his blessing of marriage, God established what he gives his approval to, the joining of one man and one woman. He shows what he has set apart as holy. The two will become one flesh. And he gives the ability to increase. That's why God specifically gives his blessing to traditional marriage. He sets it apart as holy. He says, I give my approval to this. You will become one flesh. And he gives you the ability to increase and multiply and fill the earth. So the scriptures define very carefully what it means to bless. So if I'm going to give my blessing to my children, those are three things that I need to ask myself as my parents. Do I want this to increase in their life? Yes, I do. I'm going to give my approval. I'm going to say, yes, that's a good thing. I want those good things to grow in your life. Is this set apart as holy? Is this something that God would call holy? If he doesn't call it holy, then I should not either. And we'll talk a little bit more about the whole happiness thing. Because sometimes as a parent, we get caught up in that. But let's stop for a minute and just ask ourselves the question or look at husbands and wives and how we can bless one another. God has called us to pursue oneness in our marriages because they are to reflect the nature of God by living in harmony. God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We celebrate that and worship that, worship Him in that. He is diverse yet in perfect harmony. So in pursuing oneness, we reflect the whole nature and character of God, the diversity of man and woman becoming one, not only in body, but in spirit and emotionally as well. That's a challenge. That's lots of hard work. But that's the goal that God has for us, for the two of us who are diverse, to grow in unity, to grow in harmony, to grow in oneness, because it reflects the nature and character of God. So in pursuing oneness, we need to seek our partner's blessing and seek to bless them. Let me give you a couple of examples of this. Carla enjoys singing in a trio. And one time they were going to travel to another church and she was going to have to be go out that night or whatever the case might be. And so we had a discussion. I asked her the question one time. I said, so you singing in this trio, is that a you thing or is that an us thing? Well, she said, I guess it's kind of my thing. I said, well, I disagree, honey. I said, I don't think it's just a you thing. I said, I think that's a really good thing for you to be part of the trio. There's community there. There's fellowship there. It's good for you to get out of the house. It's good for you to get away from me sometimes. And it's good for you to have time with friends. It's good for you to sing and lead people in worship and give of yourself and your talents to worship the Lord. So, honey, I bless you in that. So in me giving my blessing to her, is it a her thing or is it an our thing? It now becomes an our thing. Because she has my blessing. She has my approval. I see it as something good and something honoring, something holy before the Lord. I want it to increase. And so I stamp my approval of as a husband and I say, that's good, honey. Go for it. It's no longer just her thing now. It's our thing because we're in it together. Here's another example, and I won't bore you with a whole bunch of our examples this morning, but one of the things that I used to like to do, well, I still do occasionally, is I do a little hunting and trapping. And in the wintertime, I get out and get exercise. Now, I used to be pretty fanatical about it. And I used to go during the week, I would go, and then on Saturdays, it would be the whole day. And that was okay for a while. And then all of a sudden I realized Carla wasn't really excited about me being gone all day Saturday. And so we had a discussion about it because I was really wanting to live in the blessing of my wife. She saw it as, well, you know, there is some benefit to it. There's some benefit in that I get exercise and fresh air in the wintertime. It gets me out of the house and gets me out and having fresh air. But she didn't like the idea of me going for the whole day. She said, you know, it's just like another day at work. You're just gone the whole day like you are every day at work, and I'm at home with little kids. It'd be nice to have a break from that. So I said, honey, what if I change some things? Rather than going from November till April, what if I went in December and January? And rather than going all day Saturday or going during the week and all day Saturday, what if I just went Saturday mornings? She said, I could live with that. I said, thank you for your blessing. I kind of grabbed it as fast as I could. And now I got an 11-year-old and he kind of kicks me out the door in the winter. Every fall, it's like, Dad, I said, well, should we go out and see what we can find out there? I said, Dad, yes, of course we have to go. And so, you know, I began to enjoy an event that I enjoyed a lot more before. I began to enjoy it more. Even though I was doing it less, I enjoyed it more because I knew that I had my wife's blessing and approval, that I could do it with her okay, and that I needed to live within the limits of that blessing because I needed to be there for her and the kids as well and not just be concerned about myself. So there's a couple of practical things that we've thought about, and I know you could come up with many in your relationships. Parents, we want what is best for our children. We all want our children to be happy. But don't settle for apparent happiness. Teach your children to strive to live with blessing. When you extend your blessing, giving your approval, ask yourself, is this something that God would set apart as holy? Would He give His approval to this? We are so quick to say everyone's doing it. It's just the common practice. There's nothing wrong with. They seem so happy. I just want them to be happy. But we can't stop their parents. Parents, the challenge for you is to know what God would give His blessing to. What would He set apart as holy? What would He give His approval to? What things would He say, I want that to increase in their lives? To know what God would give His blessing to requires something of us. It means that we must stay close to His Word. For apart from His Word, we have no foundation. And all we end up doing is floating down the common stream of culture. And then we wonder why our children get into the trouble that they do later in life. And we end up giving our blessing and approval to things that will harm them and destroy. We need to know the Word of God and stand strong. That is a huge challenge. That is a huge challenge. Because there are times, as parents and as adults and friends in community, where we come to the place where we risk the relationship to stand upon the truth. That is very hard. And it can only be done with great prayer and support from friends and godly people around that you surround yourself with. Because sometimes as parents, we are called to risk the relationship to stand for truth. And that is a really tricky game and a really tricky balance. And only with great prayer and only with the presence of the Lord and the tenderness of compassion of heart can we as parents say, you know what, this is what God's truth says. And that's where I'm going to put my feet and I'm going to stand there. If that means it's going to bring great challenges in our relationship, then we will live with that. We will deal with that. But I must stand first on the truth of God's Word. And there might be some of you as parents today who are going through this. But there is great strength and comfort. There is help. And I believe we're not just looking for the immediate happiness of our children. We are looking for the long term. The goal of them walking in faith in Jesus Christ and walking in the ways of the Lord. How are we ever going to expect them to do that unless we stand strong upon the truth of God's Word ourselves? In love and tenderness and compassion, working through the challenges that do come our way as a result of that. I understand the difficulties and challenges in that. And I pray for parents who are going through that right now. Children, the challenge to you Make choices that your parents can bless. Don't dishonor your parents by being disrespectful when they don't approve of choices that God wouldn't approve of. Don't get mad at them when you become attracted to someone who isn't a Christian and they don't approve or they have concerns. Don't ask them to call holy what God does not call holy in relationships. If you want to honor your parents, then seek their advice before you make your decisions. Ask them, what do they think? Ask them, what do they see? Yes, you're getting older, you want to make your own decisions, but remember this, and maybe you're an adult already here, and you still, you know what, I think there's still great value in living in that community. And in that community and in family communities, your parents and those people who are invested in your life are more concerned about your well-being and your future than sometimes your friends are. While you make decisions based on feelings, they see through the eyes of experience and love. And as adults, surround yourself with godly friends, people that are invested in you and will be honest with you, and say, hey, you know, I see this. I do have concerns. The challenge of all of us, or to all of us, is to make choices that God would bless. Maybe your parents have passed on, or you don't have a relationship with them because of problems. I encourage you to allow God and His Word to parent you. I like what the Emotionally Healthy Spirituality book called. Peter Scazzaro is the author, and he talks about allowing the Scriptures to reparent us. Even the best parents at the best of times are still broken people, and still we still need to go back to God's Word and allow His Word to parent us. Maybe you're here today as a single parent, or your family situation has been really tough. Maybe you are carrying a great load in trying to parent while carrying great loneliness and concern for your children. Maybe your parents have been really messed up and you feel rejected and even afraid of those who should love you most of all. And you know, I understand this coming Friday in our payroll, one of the things that I've been doing this summer is called Our Story. And this Friday, I'm sending out in everybody's pay stub in the company a story of a young man. Well, he's in his 30s now. But at age 22, his mom left. She got involved with someone on the internet and wasn't long and she was gone to Pennsylvania. He talks about being just so angry, so volatile. Things were really messed up. He'd become suicidal. He was just a really broken individual. But he came to a place where he realized, and in his anger, he did some things that forced him into anger management and forced him to take classes. And in the story, it's really neat because he comes to a place of forgiveness. He comes to a place where he, after a couple of years, he has an encounter with his mom. And his mom had asked forgiveness couple of years before this happened, but he was just too angry. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. But a couple of years later, he realized, I don't want to live the rest of my life. And he was an adult by this. Now he's 24 years old. He comes to a place where he realizes, I need to forgive. And in the story, he talks about the healing and the peace that he gains in his life when he comes to a place of forgiveness, where he is with his mom and he tells her, Mom, I forgive you. And to this day he would say she's a best friend. He calls her and talks to her every day and has a great relationship with her. He talks about how that he has learned to have compassion for people in a way that he never had before. Yes, he still struggles. He's definitely not perfect by any stretch of the means. He's a construction worker. Yet he's come to this place where he has peace in his heart and his soul. It's really hard being a single parent or a child in a home where parents have split up. There were many nights I cried myself to sleep after holding my young daughter as she wept because she missed her mom. A counselor asked me one time, "Randy, can you trust God to be enough for you?" But I didn't understand what that meant until one night with tears and loneliness, I prayed, said, "God, would you fill the emptiness in my heart that no one can fill? There's no one here, no one else can fill that right now. Would you come and fill that emptiness in my heart?" And really, I think that's where all of us need to come to that place. Whether we are in great relationships or not, because sometimes we get into the habit of allowing our spouse or other people become, we treat them like they're God, like they can meet all of our needs, that they can fill our hearts. We get a little lazy in our relationship with God, but He brings us back to that place where we need to come alone, you and me and God alone, and say, "God, I can't trust my wife to fill every need in my heart. That's not your design. God, I trust you. Lord, would you fill me up? Would you meet the needs in my heart? Lord, would you fill the emptiness that no one else, nothing else, no relationship, no thing, no person, would you fill that place that only you can fill? Lord, fill me up so that I can go back to my family and I can give them what you have given me to give them." So I came to a place where I realized that and I understood that I can trust God to be enough for me. When my daughter would cry at night for her mom, I would pick her up and pray, "Lord Jesus, by your Holy Spirit, would you meet the need in our hearts that no one else could fill?" And she would calm down and go right to sleep. Ask God to fill your emptiness. Trust Him to meet the needs in your heart that the absent parent or spouse isn't meeting anymore. Finally, maybe you're here today and you know in your pursuit of happiness you have dishonored parents or relationships. Maybe you've acted in a way in which neither God nor others around you could give His blessing to. Perhaps there have been fractured relationships and things have gotten really complicated. You know what? We can't change the past. We can't go and unring the bell. We can't undo what has been done, but we can take a step forward in a way that God will bless. We can recognize that God wants to give His blessing to us. And then we can step forward in areas and go, "Lord, if I want to have your blessing, then I need to call holy the things that you call holy. I need to ask myself, would you want this to increase in my life? And Lord, does your word teach me that this is what you give your approval to?" We can turn away from doing things that are wrong and harmful to ourselves and others. We can take control of our choices and live with the smile of God on our lives. The Lord wants to give His blessing, and He defines very clearly what He will give His blessing to. He desires us to live in that place where we have His blessing and we walk in His blessing and His smile upon our face. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you that you have put me in community, in a family, in relationships, in a church community, in a neighborhood. Thank you, Lord, for all of that. Thank you for the blessing that I receive from all of that, Lord. Help me to do my part. Help me to do my best in living in that community. And Lord, you know the people that are here today that perhaps are hurting. Pray that your Holy Spirit would speak into their lives today, that they would experience your wisdom, your guidance, restoration in their lives and in relationships. Lord, would you restore that which is broken in relationships? Lord, would you help us as husbands and wives to bless each other? Help us as parents to know what to give our blessing to our children, and help our children, Lord, to desire to seek that. Thank you, Father, for your love, your restoration, and your healing. And I just thank you so much for this day and the goodness that you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen.